Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
My name is Matt.
And today we're talking about the necessity of community. All right, Matt, so what was up with that weird intro?
Okay, so I realized that my name obviously starts with M. And you say, I'm Joel. And that sounds normal. But then I say, I'm Matt.
Just too many M's bored together?
Yeah, it's too many M's. Right. And I always feel like, God, I sound so stupid when I say that. And so I'm like, all right, what else can I say when I introduce myself? So my new thing might be, my name is Matt.
We could say, me llamo Matt.
Is that Spanish?
Yeah.
I never took Spanish.
Well, so...
Me llamo is Matt.
Speaking of Spanish...
Mateo.
We were at Streets Alive today, which is this
awesome
bicycling thing through Atlanta. They shut down a street. No cars allowed. Only people walking and riding bikes. And the library had a table set up with books a lot about cycling. Yeah. Got these awesome books.
But did you grab some?
I grabbed a few books.
Oh, dude.
What was So for this awesome one that has no words about this girl who wants this bike and she like works really hard to save up the money for the bike. And it's just like super cute. But I also got this book, The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. Polly, my youngest, has been really into that lately because they're learning about it at her school.
Oh, nice.
But I got it in Spanish.
Oh, really?
So I tried to read it to the girls tonight because I took a lot of Spanish growing up.
Oh, nice, man. I didn't know that.
I'm still not very good, but like seventh grade through a few classes in college, too. So you think I'd be proficient.
Yeah, I feel like
But no.
I need to hear way more Spanish coming out of you.
I know, but no, I'm not. And I've lost most of it now at this point. But it was really fun to kind of pick up that book and try to read it through.
Yeah,
and,
that's
but
cool.
They weren't really having any of it. They're like, Dad, we don't understand.
They're just like staring at you with a weird, awkward face.
Like, can we move on to Pete the Cat or something else? So we did. But that was really fun. Streets Alive was a blast today.
Yeah, we did that today. So that's like you said, a huge, it's not just a bicycling festival, but it's just sort of a way to show like bicycling, walking, basically any transportation other than cars is allowed. And obviously we love biking. That was our first episode. It's a huge part of our life and a big part of our community. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, actually.
Yeah, and so it was fun, like, you know, riding our bikes around. We brought our girls, put them on the back, and we'll post pictures of what that looks like. Our bikes are really fun. And
got those cargo bikes.
Yeah, so they're a lot of fun. And we, you know, ran into just a bunch of people, some who I see all the time and some who I see almost never. And so
I saw some clients of mine.
Just fun biking around. And especially, it was really neat. I don't know if you felt this. When I turned onto the street initially on my bike, that's such a busy intersection, usually.
Oh, yeah.
And like for the first minute and a half, it just was almost like surreal biking on that road.
We're like,
no cars.
We're here.
Yeah.
No cars.
And I was like, wait, no, a car's going to come out of somewhere, right? it was really, really fun though. And so I don't know if your community where you live has something like that, but Atlanta has the Atlanta Bike Coalition and they're awesome and they support great things like this. And so it was really, really fun to go out there, kind of vendor set up, giving away free things and
get all the freebies.
Yeah. And then, you know, pick up some library books while I'm at it. So that was a good time.
Yeah. Cliff Bar was out there, man. They're like the best. They're always giving out just all their different flavors and trying stuff out. We kind of camped out there for a second and got the girls all the snacks.
Yeah, the chocolate peanut butter banana was really good.
Yeah, so good.
I'm always down with freebies. I'm always down with biking, especially when there's no cars in the way. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next Streets Alive. That was a blast.
Yeah, next one will probably be a lot hotter though.
It's gonna be a little brutal. Yeah today was a little cool.
Surprisingly cool.
But yeah, next one will be hot for sure. They don't call it Hotlanta for nothing.
Yeah, they don't call it Hotlanta, by the way. If you're wondering, anybody out there that doesn't live in Atlanta. It is not called Hotlanta.
Yeah. Don't come down here saying things like that.
Just don't do it.
All right, Matt. So today on the show, we're going to talk about how community can save you money, how community can help you in a pinch, and how it also contributes to a healthy and balanced life.
Yeah, let's get into that beer first. Today's beer is called Hello Beautiful, and that is by Monday Night Brewing. And this beer was actually donated to the show. So we want to thank the guys over there at Monday Night for sending us this gorgeous beer. Joel's pouring it now and it's like ruby red.
It's like a reddish purple.
And it's a barrel fermented wild ale with blueberries, which is, man, one of my favorite styles. Like, you get that wild ale, which basically means like that's where it has the natural yeasts and bacteria. But then I found that the blueberry wilds are some of my favorite wild ales. So I'm super stoked about giving this one a try.
Yeah, man. This is the first time for both of us, which is fun.
Yeah, having a new beer that neither of us has had before is extra fun.
It smells awesome.
Oh, it smells wonderful.
Nice and acidic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm salivating. That's always a good sign.
It's not as sour as you think it's going to be when you stick your nose in there. I think like the white wine barrels maybe mellowed this one out a good bit. Mm-hmm. So it's not terribly acidic. And the blueberries really come through nicely.
Yeah, nice fruit. To me, it almost drinks like a lambic. It's kind of got that Belgian kind of funkiness going on with it. And it's not overly sweet as well. It's kind of dry. I think, like you said, like the white wine barrels kind of mellowed out a little bit.
Yeah, I think if you like fruity beers, but you don't love sours, this is probably a good one for you to check out because it doesn't have that...
That sour bite, like that kick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when I stuck my nose in it, that's what I was expecting. And,
yeah, same here.
And it really didn't have that. And so I think if you don't love sours, but you like, you know, fruit-forward beers, then this is probably going to be a really good beer for you to try.
Yeah, this is excellent.
All right, Matt, on to the topic of the day, the necessity of community. And... the first thing we want to talk about, I mean, I think community gets to so many things. So, Matt, before we get into kind of what we think about community and the importance of it and kind of how it can be helpful, what's your take on what community actually means?
Yeah, man, I guess before we spend an entire podcast talking about what community does to help you, we need to talk about like what it is. We need to define it. So the way we're going to be talking about community today is essentially the shortest definition, I think, are your friends, right? So you're talking about the people in your life who you call your friends and your neighbors, those that are around you that you share similar values with. As we talk through some of these different ways that community has an impact on our lives, it'll kind of quickly become clear that this is at least the definition that we're kind of going to be going with as far as what a community is.
Yeah, I think usually a community means that you have some sort of characteristic or something, some bond in common.
Yes.
And so you can have a religious community, you can have like a school community, you can have a neighborhood community. Mm-hmm. There are all these possibilities, and you likely, as a listener, and Matt and I were in a few different communities, and Matt, we're in some of the same ones, and we're also in different communities from each other, too. Yeah, and so when I looked up the episodes that had the term community in them on my podcast app, I was just kind of checking to see, you know, what did other people said when it came to community? What sorts of episodes were being put out on this topic? And essentially all the podcast episodes I saw about community were 100% religious based. They were sermons or something from, you know, churches all over the country talking about this term. And I think that's great. I think a religious community is a great community for you to have. It, you know, whether you are currently in one or want to be in one.
Yeah, it's just, for a lot of folks, that's a strong sort of tie that kind of anchors people to their faith and the different things that they value.
Yeah, and based on our definition, that would make sense that would be a viable and an important community because you have something deep in common, right? Something that you hold dear and it's in common. And so that would be hopefully a community of people that are tightly knit together based around that fact.
Yeah.
But so we want to talk about community from a different angle. And although I do think religious community is really important, and for us in particular, actually, it is...
Yeah, it plays a big role in our life for sure.
Yeah, it's enormously important. I would say it's, you know, one of my most important communities that I am in.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt, the importance that you and I place on community, whether it is our religious community or our neighborhood community or... so the financial community, the personal finance community that we're a part of overall.
The beer community.
We put a lot of importance on that, and we've put a lot of thought into this episode about how we can convey the way that we think about community to you listeners out there.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, that's why we're dedicating an entire episode to community, right? It's not like this sort of concrete thing where we're talking about like credit score or travel tips, which are very easy to wrap your head around. But we think that this will be a great episode for us to talk about the importance of community and the role it plays in our lives. Hopefully we don't get bogged down on the, you know, the definition of a community. And I think at any point when we're talking through this, we can substitute the word community for friends, essentially, right? Whether it's your beer friends or your neighborhood friends or your work friends, essentially anybody in your life that you can call on or that can call on you. I mean, essentially, that's what a community is, our friends, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and since we're a beer and money podcast, like, we have to include the important fact that having a good, solid community can actually help save you money. So that's the first point we want to talk about.
Yeah, man. Nice segue. So one of the first things we want to talk about is sharing things. Not in like a hippie commune sort of way where we're all like have the same stuff, but sort of, you know, we're kind of going down that path, and we're specifically talking about sort of sharing rarely used items instead of buying them. Everybody in our neighborhood doesn't need a tiller. Like, that's not something that everybody uses all the time or that everybody even needs. But if you've got one and your neighbors can use it or vice versa, how much better is that than to go to the store and drop a ton of money on something that you're hardly ever going to use, that's just going to kind of sit there in your basement until the next time you might need to use it?
Yeah, I've lent out my paint sprayer more than I've actually used it, I think.
I didn't know you had a paint sprayer, dog.
Yeah, man. Anytime you need it, you're welcome to it.
Oh, nice. There's so much I don't know about you, Joel. Espanol paint sprayer.
I know. Matt, we've been convinced by advertising and kind of by the way our modern world works that we need every item that is available. We need one of our own. And I think there's so many ways in which we don't need every item for ourselves in our shed, taking up room in our house. And every item that you have, I feel like, takes up a little bit of mental space for you.
Oh, yeah.
And
kind of goes back to our spring cleaning episode. It's just like, it just weighs on you.
Yeah. And so having fewer items, but then being able to share those items, and particularly the big things, right? Let's say it's just a paint sprayer or a lawnmower, which you need once every 2 weeks. Or I think back to when we helped each other put up Christmas lights. Four hands are better than two, right? Two people working together and to make something happen makes the work easier, and it makes it more fun, and it makes everything go along more quickly. And so having community, you know, you didn't need to hire someone to steady the ladder. You didn't need to, you know, hire someone to help you string the lights. But we tackled it together on each of our homes, and it was much quicker and easier.
Yeah, and ultimately it saves money.
So, and there might be some tools that you need to own. Maybe you use your lawnmower once a week. You know, for me, I have my lawn that I need to mow and then rental home lawns that I need to mow. And so I get a lot of use out of my lawnmower.
Right. But yeah, like a tool that you might only need to use once a year, it's not something you need to have around all the time immediately so that you can go ahead and use it. It's something that you can kind of plan on or look towards. And with a little bit of thought, it's easy to just borrow one. Another example I was going to give too was we had a birthday party for one of my daughters. And there's a lot of stuff we didn't have for it. And we could have gone that route, right? Where you buy, just get everything that you possibly need. Just order it on Amazon because it's so easy. But instead, we kind of asked around to some of our neighbors, literally two blocks this way and three blocks that way. We got a lot of our stuff from, you know, from our friends and neighbors, including like a fire pit and a huge table that we didn't have, a big old folding table. And man, that was like a perfect example of sort of like our community, our friends kind of coming together. And instead of us being like, oh, we just have to do this. This is something that we have to buy and this is something we need. Well, we don't need it all the time. We just need it for the party. And so you just borrow it real quick, take care of it, use it, return it in better condition that it showed up, you know, and you're good to go.
Yeah. And Matt, the cool thing is like when we had kids, we had people giving us clothes.
Oh, yeah.
From their kids before. And essentially, my daughters came into this world fully clothed for the next like 3 years because of all the generosity from friends in our community. Mm-hmm. And then we've been able to kind of pass along and do the same thing and give to other friends.
Yeah, paying it forward. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really fun to be able to buy less and to be more thoughtful about our purchases when it comes to clothing because, you know, we've got this free system of distribution amongst our community.
Yeah, man, that's another great way to save money. There's just certain things that you only need in a small season of life, like kids' clothes, or I was thinking about Kate, maternity clothes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many different, there's this one dress actually that I'm thinking of that both of our wives and another friend of ours' wife wore. And man, I was so sick of seeing that dang dress because they all loved it. And so they all kept wearing it. Obviously not at the same time, but they all got kind of pregnant after each other. And
like cascading pregnancies,
dude, seriously. But that one dress, man, it made the rounds. It was a hot item. And you know, I was joking about it, but in the end I was totally happy that Kate wasn't dropping all this money on way overpriced maternity clothes to wear just for a couple months.
Yeah. And really, you know, you need those clothes for, you know, 4 to 5 months essentially.
Yeah.
And so it feels like a big waste if you actually have to go stock your wardrobe with new clothes
exactly
for that small period of time. And if you can borrow, you know, a couple pairs of jeans and a few dresses, you can get through that time. And community is so good about that because you could even go buy used, which is great.
But you're still buying.
Yeah. And used isn't free. So unless it's from your community.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that sort of aspect of being pregnant and sort of going through that process together. And even with the kids now too, man, I can't even think of all the different kids' clothes and the different toys that we sort of passed on. And even diapers too are, you know, cloth diapers, not like obviously disposables.
Here's a used poopy diaper for you.
because we tried out the whole cloth diaper thing, and that can be expensive. But some friends of ours, actually, they hooked us up with a huge bag of cloth diapers for us to try out. And there's a bunch of different styles, and we got to see what worked for us. And man, you know what? We were so glad because not all of them worked for us. And we were able to find the one that worked best for us. And that was awesome. And to think of how much money we would have spent, even buying from a consignment store, would have cost us a ton.
Yeah, you would have dropped a big chunk of change on that. And so what a great thing to be able to try something out before you buy.
And what, you know what's totally cool is that we just passed that huge bag on to some other friends of ours because they do 100% cloth diaper. And man, I was so stoked to be able to pass this awesome resource of cloth diapers along. Hopefully all of this doesn't completely revolve around children, but because kids grow so quickly and that's just something that's so temporary, I think there's a huge opportunity there for saving money.
Yeah. Well, and so I'll give an example here, one that doesn't revolve around kids. My coworker Kim and I have carpooled to work together at times, and it's because we're not just coworkers, we're friends, and we're part of the same community. We live close to each other in a neighborhood community. We're part of the same work community, and that carpooling has been really great at times. You know, most of the time I'm biking now, so we don't carpool nearly as much together, but it's really fun when we do, and it saves on gas, and it makes the ride just a little bit more fun through awful traffic.
And you guys just, I mean, I assume you guys alternate, right? Like, you don't make her do all the driving?
No, I make her do all the driving. No, yeah, we alternate. Yeah, we alternate. So I'll drive one, she'll drive one another. Driving home in crazy downtown traffic is pretty rough. And so it gives us, you know, we listen to a podcast together, we talk about it, whatever. It gives us a chance to not be white knuckle gripped to the steering wheel on the ride home. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And another example is date night. So you and I, with our wives, we swap date nights. So 1 week, you'll put your girls down and I'll come over and, you know, essentially babysit, which means either like reading or getting some work done, something like that, while your girls are asleep, while you guys are out on a date. And then the next week, you come over to our house while we do the exact same thing. The girls are down, you're able to come over.
Honestly, that's one of the best things that we've got and got going.
And it's a great system.
Most people pay for a babysitter.
Or they don't, right?
And so because, or they just don't go out.
Yeah, and because of that, their relationship kind of suffers. And they're like, oh, babysitters are so expensive, and they just kind of don't want to go through the hassle of setting it up. But the way we have it set up is that it's a recurring weekly thing. So we you know, we flip back and forth every week, and it A, keeps our relationship with our wives in great shape, you know, that we have that sort of automatic time built into our schedules. But B, man, we save tons of money, and it's not like we're doing any work with the children. We're kind of getting stuff done, but we get to do our own thing and just kind of hang out at the other person's house. Man, that's like one of our, yeah, like you said, a great system that we've got going, and we totally recommend other folks to do that as well.
Yeah, in similar fashion, Matt, we switch off on taking our girls to school. And so I take the girls in the morning, you pick up the girls in the afternoon. And that's been awesome because if we had to do both every day, that's so much more draining. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we can essentially split those tasks up saves us a lot of time, allows us to, you know, I think the girls have fun. It's enjoyable for me to take them in the morning. I know they have a bunch of fun with you in the afternoon. Yeah. And so there's something really cool about that. And
it's just better.
It's better that way. Yeah. It saves us time and money and effort. And that's another one of the best things that has come from our friendship and from the community. Because let's say you're not available or something like that. We have other friends, too, that are part of our community that could pick up Selma.
Yeah, who also go to the same school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that, actually, because you don't deal with this as much because you do mornings. I do the afternoon since I have a little more flexible schedule. And you have to be there by a certain time to pick up the kids, like almost to the minute. And if you're not, you're supposed to start getting charged. It's like you're supposed to start getting charged for every minute that you're past the pickup window time. Even though you and I count on each other for the general carpool, there's still other friends that we have at the school. And oftentimes, me and a few of the other moms who do the pickup in the afternoons, we text each other if someone's running late and we'll sign the other kids out. That way they don't get docked the fee.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And so sometimes someone might be running late and it's just like, hey, I'll be there in a few minutes. And you just kind of hang out there with the kids for a little bit and it saves them money and, you know, and they'll gladly return the favor when I'm late, which is oftentimes the case, hopefully not too often, but it does happen. So that's like another tangible way that saves money.
Yeah, so those are the financial benefits of community. I think there are lots.
Yeah, there's a lot of other examples, certainly, that we haven't discussed, but those are very clear in our lives, at least. And those are very tangible ways, too, right? Like, and that's what's so easy about that. It's easy to say that, like, oh, this costs this much money if I can borrow this or allow a friend to borrow this, and we kind of get a system going. We get to save that much money. There's other ways, though, that community helps that are less tangible, that are harder to quantify.
And real quick before we get into that, Matt, after talking about, you know, the weight can save you money, it makes me think, well, what advice would you give to someone who feels like they're lacking in community now and trying to build a community? They feel like, you know what? That sounds awesome. I want some of that. I want to be able to share the burden and share costs and have a close relationship with people like that in my life that I can depend on and that can depend on me. But how do you develop that?
Yeah, man, that's an awesome question. I just take.
Oh, I know. Here's some coupons, taker.
Literally, you just threw some coupons onto the table. Where did you pull those out of? Like your pocket?
Yep.
No, I mean, you have to be a valuable part of that community. If you want to be a part of it, you need to contribute, right? And so if, first of all, if it doesn't exist yet, you're going to be the one that creates it. And if you want it to exist, it's up to you.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that you have to have the paint sprayer in your closet to give. You can build community through time, through intentionality, mm-hmm. through relationship. And so, you know, so many of the best members of my community, I haven't even borrowed anything from. They haven't saved me any money. They haven't lent me something in a pinch or giving me clothes for my kids. But they've been there with time, with an ear, with some concern for what's going on in my life, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. I think valuable members of the community are people that have time for one another. And so if you truly desire to have community like this, to have what we think is this major contributing factor to living a rich life, you first have to make sure that you are the change in the world that you want to see. You know, you have to be that member of the community that you want to have.
Are you talking about Michael Jackson?
If you build it, they will come. I don't know.
Man in the mirror. True, though. It sounds cheesy to say, but literally that's, I mean, you need to be able to have time for each other. You need to contribute. And so I was thinking more of like being able to be there for folks from a lending standpoint. But like, no, I think what you said is even more important, like being able to be there from a time standpoint and be there for each other.
And you have to know it takes time to build. Like it took us a while to develop the date night swap, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you met me day one, you didn't know, I'm totally want to let that dude watch my kids.
Yeah, I don't trust him.
Right. So it takes time to get to know someone. Community is very time oriented. It's hard to build apart from that. And so if you're spending all your time working, you're probably going to miss out on some of these free things, these free benefits, and these really important benefits that community has to offer you. And I think wealth takes on many forms, and most of us think about it as purely financial, but a wealth of community is so much more than just the financial benefit it can bring you. And that's why we want to kind of get into those other aspects now.
Yeah, Joel, that's awesome, man. Like, so like that first thing, so the first main point we talked about was how it saves you money. Like again, which was it's a very tangible and kind of measurable thing. These other two things that we're going to be talking about, it's not as tangible. It's kind of harder to wrap your head around, but that doesn't make it any less important. And in fact, it probably makes it more important because those things are way more important than just saving a buck.
Yeah.
So the second sort of main point that we're going to discuss is how, I mean, community can kind of help you out in a pinch. And so there's just things that community can provide to you that you can't necessarily buy with money.
Yeah. And so, for instance, I'll be completely honest about something that's been happening in our family's life lately. We've had some health issues going on with my wife, and we kind of weren't sure what was happening. It's been kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, you're still not totally sure, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're still not totally sure, but we think we've kind of gotten a closer idea of what it is. And
about to get real, guys.
And it's actually been really hard physically for her during this time. And so there were days that were really hard and still are hard. And there were specific times where, you know, we really needed someone to take our kids because we had to go to a doctor's appointment. And the community that we had built up over these past years in this neighborhood, in this place, rose up to help us in all these ways, that some of which we asked for and some of which we didn't. You know, sometimes it was specifically watching our kids because we asked. Sometimes it was, what can I do for you because I know you need help, even though you're not going to ask for it. And sometimes it was that time, and other times it was, you know, flowers left on the porch or someone coming over to talk and to care. And all of those things meant like so much more than
just being able to like save a buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that part of community means so much more than the fact that I can borrow a lawnmower from a friend.
Right.
Right. And that's awesome. I love that that's a thing, but those intangible aspects of community, that closeness that you can have with people over time. And I think community usually does take, like I said, a lot of time to develop. Mm-hmm. We have been in this place building relationships with the people that we care about for, you know, almost a decade. And so we knew how valuable it was, I think, in our minds, but we felt it tangibly in this time where, you know, we really needed something and we needed the people around us to help us. And they did. They were there for us. And it was beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful, man. That's awesome. Some of the intangibles, too, are just being able to take the stress out of daily living. So like we were talking about, like that pre-K where I pick up the girls in the afternoon, like just knowing that someone's kind of there and they have your back, like there's someone we can kind of count on, even though that's on a scale of magnitude of seriousness compared to, you know, with the example that you gave. But it's still one of those little things that you kind of worry about. And it does add stress to your daily life, thinking, oh, what if I don't get there in time? And then obviously it's going to cost money as well. It's kind of an issue with the teachers as well, because you're not there when you're supposed to. And just knowing that someone's there and they've got your back is kind of priceless. You can't sort of buy that peace. You can't buy that peace of mind.
Yeah. And so, Matt, sometimes that community, right, it means like where you're at, like other parents at school. And sometimes it's geographic specific. Sometimes it needs to be a neighbor. And knowing your neighbors is really important. And so, for instance, like if a package gets left on your doorstep and it's really important and you need to make sure that it doesn't get
snagged by the kid walking down the street or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it sees the Amazon package sitting there.
Yeah. Which has happened so much in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right?
Have I told you the story about our neighbors across the street?
No.
So yeah, it was actually not too long after we moved into our house. Kate had ordered something as like a gift for a friend and it had gotten delivered. And evidently right after like the UPS guy drove off or whatever, some dude that was just walking down the street, some kid, walked up onto the porch and snagged it. Well, here's the thing. Our neighbor across the street was hanging out. They were kind of hanging out on their porch, and they saw it go down. And so the dude took off after him.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Like, literally chased him down, and the guy was really fast. So he ran back and got in his car and tore after him. Unfortunately, they never got the thing back. But still, like, that's something that, A, is totally badass and awesome. And now they're, like, our favorite neighbors ever. But how cool is that, right? You can pay for a security system and cameras and sort of all the other sort of stuff that goes into trying to make your house secure. And you can even pay for like a security service that drives around and looks at your house or something. You can't pay a neighbor to be there for you and like looking out for you and they've got your back. And to know that we've got that, like I've got this bond now with that neighbor and like, man, I've got their back now too. Like it's just natural. And now I want to be there for them. But yeah, I feel like that's a perfect example of something that kind of happens a lot of times that people are dealing with these days, especially with all the online ordering that we're doing and the way we purchase things. Isn't that awesome?
That's crazy, man. Yeah, that's crazy. I love that your neighbor did that. And
dude, literally, he took off running after him. And I was like, wait, dude, you did what? Like, that's awesome. I'm not sure if I would have done that initially, but I am now because you did it. So I'm like empowered because of him.
Sure. Yeah, there's something really cool about that, that sense of community can foster that. You know what? You're not going to do that to my neighbor.
Yeah.
Not
to
my friend,
exactly,
Matt. You know,
exactly.
That's not going to happen. Matt's my buddy.
Yeah. And along the lines of sort of like neighbors sort of looking out for each other too, is that's another thing you can do with like your community and that's kind of neighborhood specific, is that when you get together and sort of put your mind behind something as like a group of people, specifically geographic, you can do so much. And recently our neighborhood started putting on like this festival and it's freaking awesome. This past year was the second year now that they've done it. And it's totally cool. It's a ton of fun and it's like a legitimate huge event. And there, you know, a lot of people come in from all over the city to check it out. And that's not something you can just pay for. Like you can't just pay for a neighborhood festival. You can't just say, oh, I want us to have like this cool festival. Let's just pay for it.
Bring in all the finest artisans.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Like you can't just.
It's literally neighborhood people that make stuff that is awesome.
It's not the Renaissance and you're not a king. Like you can't just will this to happen. Like it involves work and time and a lot of community and neighbor involvement. And that's just something that's totally cool that we're really seeing the results of. And being able to support that, it's hard to explain, but like I just want to support that because that's just part of who I am and I'm part of this community.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes me think about kind of the central part of where we live. There's this church and this parking lot, and it's also a school. And so our girls, Matt, have gone to school at this little neighborhood school right there. And
like a parents' morning out thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that specific spot is like the dead center of our neighborhood. And this church that had been there for a long time was kind of struggling, just not many people going there. And it was pretty much set to disband. And so we had a neighborhood meeting about, you know, what are we going to do with this space?
Oh, yeah.
And it was so interesting. All of our neighbors turned up. I was there. You were there. It was so like uplifting to hear what all of our neighbors thought about this neighborhood.
Yes.
And it's something that I had felt, but to hear everyone say it out loud too was really neat.
Yeah.
Just the way our neighbors feel about each other and the way that they feel about this place. Mm-hmm. And essentially what a lot of people said was that where we live feels a little bit like Mayberry. It has this small town feel in this big city where everyone does look out for one another, where everyone cares about what happens in their neighbors' lives, and they care about what happens to this neighborhood. And I think that there's something kind of rare in our culture about that right now,
yeah.
That it's kind of every man for himself. And this idea of neighbors and neighborhood and belonging to each other in this way is really cool. And it's also just not something that exists in very many places. And it's something to be strived for.
Certainly. Yeah.
And I'm just thankful that we have it here.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's just rare. Like you said, it's not something that we always see. And initially, when we first moved to the neighborhood, we didn't know a ton about living in a neighborhood, living in an in-town group or geographic location. But over time, like, we've learned.
Yeah, I feel like literally I've been taught community by the people around me, by like the people that have gone before.
And that have been here for decades even.
Yeah, and so they kind of taught me how to care and how to be a part of this place, because the sense of community was so deep when we came here. We didn't know what we were getting into to a certain extent. And I had other communities, but to realize, you know, this has become such an essential part of who I am and what matters to me, to get to be a part of that and to see the way it's mattered to people that have lived here longer than I have, then the way it transfers down to me. Okay, cool. Now I need to take ownership of this. I need to be a part of this in a positive way, because I don't want to let my community down. Like, I want to be a part of this for good.
Yeah, what's cool about that is it's a community that we have been trained up in because it already existed. Like, it's something that we've sort of joined. And that's not always the case, though, for a lot of people. Like, on the last point, you talked about like ways to sort of foster that. And I feel like that's applicable to this as well. It's something to consider that, you know, we're lucky enough that we live in a great community. But that's something that most people can have with time and energy and effort. If that's not something you see, that's something that you can do and sort of be the leader on.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you sit down and brainstorm, what are we missing? How come we're not connected as a neighborhood, as neighbors? Why is it that we don't get together for social gatherings? Why is it that, you know, something that we really need doesn't exist? If you can put pen to paper, you can think it through, you can start the ball rolling, start organizing a community where you live, be about the process of actually creating relationships with the people around you. I think it's really easy to like grab the mail out of the mailbox or pick up the paper. I don't think anyone gets papers anymore, whatever it is. And you see your neighbor and you wave, but what we're missing is connectivity, relationship, and you can really be about starting that on your block, you know, on your street, where you live. And so if it doesn't exist in the way that you want it to, you're really the best person to start that.
And the reason that we are even striving towards this is that, like, somehow, like, deep down, we know that that's valuable. But there's something else way bigger to be said, to know that your community sort of has your back and the sort of richness that that provides, right? And even sort of moving deeper than that is that we know, like I said, sort of deep down, like, we know that kind of living in that community leads to like a healthier life.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as a core human need. And I think we've placed so much importance on a career or status that we've neglected the importance of community.
Yeah.
And actually, when you give of yourself in a relational way, you get back more than you've even given.
Yeah, maybe not in a sort of financial way. But in, again, this is like the super intangible thing, and like, we can't really quantify it, right? Because like, a pure economist would say, well, no, when you give of yourself, that takes time, and time is money. So there's an opportunity cost there, right? By being neighborly and being involved in your community and going to a civic association meeting or something like that, that's money that you could be working and furthering your career. So it literally costs you money. And so from a financial standpoint, you're losing out.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the bottom line in a positive way.
Exactly. But there's something way bigger to be said, and there's just like this robustness and this richness that comes from living in a community where neighbors and where friends value each other and what each other is able to provide in a way that it's hard to quantify, but deep down, I think we all know that that's necessary and that that's going to lead to just a richer, fuller life.
Yeah, and when, you know, my friends or neighbors or something like that are having a cocktail party at 5 p.m. on a work day, you know what I want to do? Leave work early and go to that.
Exactly.
And so there's something about that.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah. There's something about that, though, that is kind of anti the 50-hour work week. It's kind of anti the, you know, build up your career because that's the most important thing. And I want to say, too, that I think one of the beautiful things in community, too, is that it can help you embrace like a tapestry of people, not just people that are your age with the same mindset, and the same goals, but people of different races and different histories and different ages. Yeah. And I think that's something really cool about community too, and especially about a physical location community.
Yeah, that's a huge thing with a specific geography or you know, like a neighborhood, which is what we're kind of discussing.
Because you don't choose usually who your neighbors are, you know, and so they just exist when you move into your house, and you have to find a way to be neighborly. And there's something really cool about that. Sometimes they have a lot to offer you in different ways, and sometimes they have nothing to offer you. But whatever it may be, they're part of your community, and there's something really cool about knowing them and caring for them in that way. And I'll specifically say, like, we have an elderly neighbor behind us, and he has meant so much to me, just the conversations over the fence with this awesome guy who's experienced a lot of life. He hasn't ever given me anything monetarily. He's never, you know, lent me his lawnmower, but just our conversations and the way he's cared for my children, talked to them and held them and wanted to know more about their lives. And just that relationship I've built with him.
He's sort of like a neighborly grandfather figure for you guys.
No doubt. No doubt. He's wonderful. And I wouldn't trade, you know, somebody that can offer me a lot more in when it comes to, you know, trading or bartering or whatever it is, you know, time and, you know, help lifting heavy things, whatever it may be. Like, I wouldn't trade that for, you know, the relationship that I have with him and what he adds to our community.
Certainly. What if he was a grandpa that brewed beer?
Well, then I'd like him even more.
I completely agree, man. Having that diverse, like you said, tapestry is a good way of saying it. Of neighbors. And I think that's one of the things we love too about our community and neighbors is the fact this is specific to the to our girls, to our kids, but also to us is just what we're able to learn from other people. Skills that our neighbors and friends have that they're able to sort of share with us and specifically to sort of teach our kids. Like, I love that our girls are able to learn things that we know nothing about, that Kate and I, my wife and I, know nothing about, but they're able to learn about from other parents and just from other neighbors, not necessarily parents. But so specifically, I'm thinking of when Evie, our daughter, started taking ballet. Kate and I know nothing about dance. It's just not something that we do. But Emily, your wife, is totally into dancing. That's just like one of her things.
Yeah, she grew up doing ballet, so she knows a little bit about it.
Exactly. And so for Evie to be able to talk to her about that specifically and to kind of get her fired up and to kind of, you know, ask her to do some certain moves or something like that when you guys would come over and hang out, that sort of thing. How awesome was that? Like, man, that just makes my heart glad to see that, you know, and just to know that we're able to kind of contribute to our lives in these seemingly super casual ways, but there's just something about it that's beautiful and that goes really deep and just enriches everyone's life to be able to have that.
Yeah, and our friend David, who knows a lot about soccer.
Yes.
And he bought a couple goals.
Yeah, we've been talking with some of our friends and neighbors about which different soccer programs they're part of, you know, like the different clubs that you join and pay and stuff like that. But what we realize is our kids are kind of too young to maybe be paying all this money to join this league that has set times and just, I don't know, it's a bit structured.
$150 to, you know, hang out on a Saturday and watch your kid put their thumb in their mouth while they're playing soccer.
Exactly.
I use air quotes while I say that.
When David, like, he has a wealth of knowledge about soccer. He loves soccer. And he's totally like, you know what? Like, I can do that. And so that's something that, a skill that he has, a passion that he has. And we're going to just kind of get all the kids together and let them sort of kick the ball around on their own like that.
Yeah, and maybe teach them a few things. But
yes, certainly.
That's really cool because I love that idea, because standing around on a Saturday with, you know, a bunch of other parents who, you know, have their Starbucks coffee in their hands or whatever while they're watching their kid, you know, standing around, and a coach,
they've pulled up in their H2 Hummer or whatever. I don't even know if they make those anymore, but
yeah,
that sounds terrible.
But hanging out with buddies in part of our community, friends, and our kids getting together to play a game that we enjoy and essentially teaching our kids together at the same time. Like, that sounds really fun. That sounds like something completely different than an organized league. And that sounds like the kind of thing community is perfect to accomplish. All right, Matt. So what about when it comes to digital communities? There are lots of them. There are lots of places where you can find people of like mind online.
Yeah, different forums and even just Facebook and just all the different groups out there.
Yeah. So what's your take on digital communities and how they fit into kind of the way that we view community as a whole?
Yeah, man, that's just something I'm like super concerned about, that these digital communities are replacing sort of the real life communities that we have in person. And I don't want to knock online forums and just different groups that we're a part of, because, like, I mean, I'm part of tons of different groups online, specifically like on Facebook. And there's amazing information that comes from those, and even support. You know, like there's a lot of different groups that help each other out and provide encouragement with whatever it is that people are going through.
Like, let's say, you know, we started a podcast and we're a part of a podcast group on Facebook. And if I have a technical question, or I have questions about, you know, all right, we're 15 episodes in, what do we do next? Right. You know, whatever it is. Let's say I had a question about gear or the direction that we should take our show. Mm-hmm. There's this awesome community that I know I'll get a response from because we have this thing in common. Even that just existing is really cool. I love that. It's there in case I need it.
Yeah, man, it's incredibly helpful, right? Like there's a lot of information there and you're in it with people. There's a lot of people that are going through something very similar a lot of times that you are. And so it's very helpful. You have like peers, everybody's kind of like lifting each other up. Incredibly valuable. I do not want to discount that at all. What I'm afraid of happening though is when that becomes sort of like our primary sort of interaction and we lose this realness. We lose this real actually hanging out together where you're with other people. You're experiencing the nuances that come with awkward social situations sometimes, or understanding jokes, or, you know, like there's just so much that's lost when it comes to digital communication. And even though there's all this technology to sort of break down those barriers of communication that allow us to maybe communicate more realistically when we're in these digital communities, it's still not the same. There's something to be said with being able to hang out with people, real life people together, hopefully sharing a beer. There's something that comes with that, that again, is just hard to describe. You can't quantify it, but it just adds a robustness. It adds a richness. It adds a fullness to life that you can't replicate online. And I think there's something to be said too, that any of these sort of online communities and forums, like their main purpose is to imitate real life. And so like at the core of the technology, the technology knows that what they're trying to do is basically imitate what we're doing right now, which is like hanging out and talking, right? And so when the imitation kind of becomes the focus versus then the real thing, I think that's when it starts getting kind of dangerous. And it's not dangerous, I guess, but it's just like a slippery slope. And I feel like we can miss out on something better.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think specifically our Facebook group, it's been really fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's been great getting to know some of the people in there and, you know, hearing questions or what they want to hear in an episode, whatever it is, or what beer they're drinking.
Yeah, or seeing people help each other out, like answered other questions to each other and providing helpful tips and feedback. I love that, man. That's just amazing to see that.
And hopefully there's just more and more of that to come. I love that that is a medium that exists. But I think that's a great secondary community. I think you need your primary communities should be real and tangible and physical. Yeah. And if your primary community is an online community, that's probably just not healthy. And so look at your physical location where you live, you know, your neighborhood. That's a great place to find community. Look at your, you know, religious congregation. If you're a member somewhere, that's a great place for a community. Look at if you have kids, you know, who are the other adults around you that have children similar age? That's a great place for community.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, I think too, an exception maybe to that is if those online communities, like these different groups, if they reinforce like your real life communities, right? And so like, I'm thinking about our neighborhood. Like we have obviously like our specific actual neighborhood. When we hang out together and have like the festival and hang out, you know, up on the corner while our kids ride bikes in the parking lot, that sort of thing. But the online version of that supports that. And so and the same thing, if the online version of that kind of becomes the focus, well, it starts to suck because that's when people troll and are mean to each other and are lame.
That's why comment sections on the internet are the worst.
Exactly. But then if you're able to sort of complement your real life interactions with the online version, well, then it's just this awesome platform for sharing information, for coordination, for sharing events. It's awesome.
For like details and specific advice that you might not be able to get from a friend because you have this aggregate knowledge online that you don't necessarily have in a smaller personal community, which is what's so cool about it, right?
Yeah, the hive mind.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. But ultimately, you want your, you know, most of your interactions to be in a real and tangible community that exists where you are.
Yeah, man, I think that's true. Now, let's just talk about if you're in a cult.
That's a bad community. Stay away. Get out right now. I also think, Matt, that your family can be a great place of community too. And, you know, I've got an awesome family that I love, and we get together at least once a month and we hang out, and I see, you know, other members of my family even more often. I think family is a great place for community.
Yeah. It's sort of like the default, right? Like, you know, I mean, hopefully folks have enough time that they have friends and wherever it is that they live. But I think a lot of times folks know that, like, well, at the very least, I've got my family.
Yeah. But you know what? Some people don't feel that way about their families. They didn't have the kind of childhood that I had. They don't have the close relationship with their parents or their siblings, or even the close geographic proximity that I have to them.
Right.
And I think that's where you need your local community all the more. If you don't feel like you have your family as one of your primary communities, all the more reason for you to find close communities where you are that are important to you and meaningful.
Yeah, and I think that is happening more often, man. Well, specifically what I'm thinking of is Friendsgiving. Like, how often do we see sort of friends posting pictures from their Friendsgiving? You know, it may not be something that they do with their family as much, or maybe they're, like you said, like their family is really far away, like out of town and kind of stuff like that. But to see folks getting together and still sort of having that meaningful relationship together is perfect. I mean, that's like the perfect example of what you're saying. And I love seeing that.
Yeah. All right, Matt. So back to the beer. Monday night.
Yeah.
Hello, beautiful.
Hello, beautiful. You know what?
Wait, are you talking to me or is that the name of the beer?
You know, as this beer warmed up, I feel like I could taste more of that oak, like more of that wood, like that the white wine barrels that this was aged in. And it gave it like a nice sort of mellow, delicious tone.
I agree. By the way, one note that I wanted to tell our listeners.
Yeah.
Proper glassware. I think it's something that needs to be addressed.
Have we not talked about that?
We've never talked about that on the show. Oh. And if you look at our logo, the U in the first pour,
P-O-U,
is a tulip glass. And I think tulip glasses are probably the best glassware to drink almost any beer out of. If you're drinking an IPA or something like that, feel free to drink it out of a pint glass. But most of these more sophisticated beers, a tulip glass is perfect for that. And part of the reason is because you can almost pretty much stick your whole nose in the glass.
Yeah. They taper to the top, and you can get your nose in there, and it kind of funnels all the smells and all the flavors right there to your nose, and it just allows you to taste what you're drinking a little better.
So there are even more advanced type of glassware that you can pick up that apparently does an even better job. But basically, get two tulip glasses in your home, and you can probably find one for $4. And those are going to be just really nice for the drinking experience, not to mention they look cool.
Yeah, they make you look like you know what you're talking about. That's what we did.
So thanks again to Monday Night. Hello, beautiful. Really fun beer. Barrel fermented wild ale with blueberries.
Delicious.
All right, Matt. Recap time.
First, community can save you literal money, like actual money. Specifically, you can pass along and share sort of season of life items like either kids' toys or clothes and even maternity clothes. It's less the case for dudes, but it's definitely something to consider. And also, too,
I don't know. I like those stretchy jeans, Matt.
They would have to be stretchy because I've got like short half Korean Asian legs, which means you've got like another foot on me.
Yeah, maybe we'll leave the clothes swapping to our wives.
Leave that to the ladies.
Yeah.
Another thing too is sharing sort of time and like resources, right? And so we've got like the date night setup that we have going on. And that's just an awesome way for us to A, make sure that, like we said earlier, go on date nights, but B, it just saves us so much money to not have to pay a babysitter. And that's something that we know that we can kind of depend on every other week.
Yeah. And I know that you're there with my kids. You're my friend. You're part of my community.
Yes.
Or if I have to ask, you know, another friend to pick up my girls or something like that, that's better than hiring a service to do it because it's someone that I know and trust.
Yes.
Also, community helps you in a pinch. And so, like I mentioned earlier, you know, what's been going on in our lives with you know, my wife's sickness and trying to figure that out and just kind of last minute doctor's appointments and just needing some support and encouragement. You know, our community has come through in the clutch and been there for us. It's been vital for some of the details that come up in our lives, but it's been vital for our hearts and minds to be supported in that way. And it's just been beautiful to watch our community kind of come around us and support us. And that sort of support is kind of intangible. I can't put it on a line item of a budget.
Right. You know,
my community made me this much money this month, but it means way more than anything money could even buy me.
Yeah, because it's not just about
except for a Tesla.
Yeah, because it's not just about money, right? Like there's all these apps out there. I'm thinking of like the food delivery, like DoorDash or something like that. And like, sure, you could just order takeout and have it delivered to you. And effectively, you have a meal just like you would if like a neighbor or somebody brought you some food. But how much more does it mean to know that you've got neighbors and friends that are who are willing to do that for you, and sort of like the heart, I guess, behind that versus then just ordering cheap takeout.
Well, and we even had a friend who was busy and she said, I can cook you a meal tomorrow night or I can order you something on DoorDash tonight. And the fact that she was just willing to do that, she said that, hey, I'm really busy and I would love to cook you a meal tomorrow night, but I will do this. I will order it for you now. That meant so much.
You know? It's not that DoorDash sucks. It's like the meaning behind it, I guess. Yeah.
It's a thought. It's like, oh, someone cares enough for me to, and they're invested with me in this. They're essentially walking through life with me. And that's exactly what a community does. They're walking through life with you.
Yes. Yeah, and Joel, lastly, community helps us to maintain a healthy and balanced life. Again, this is something that you can't really put your finger on, but deep down, we all know that when you are known and when you have somebody who knows you and understands you, that's just a better life to live, right? And we're not just talking about like a significant other or a spouse. We're talking about friends as well. And to have people surrounding you who do that, that's just better.
Yeah. An example I came up with for that, Matt, was how awesome is it when someone gives you a gift that you didn't even ask for that's perfect for you? Or when you find a gift for someone, for your friend, for someone that you know and care for, that's perfect for them that they didn't ask for. I love that. And that's like the example of community. Like that gift-giving scenario only happens when two people know each other well.
Yeah. Like you can buy that thing for yourself whenever you want, but that's not the same thing.
And also digital communities are awesome. I think they can provide something that in-person communities can't. There's this hive mind that you can tap into with resources that might not be available right where you live. But it shouldn't replace physical and neighborhood-specific community in your life.
We want you guys to obviously have community and to have friends and to have people who know you, not just friends on Facebook in this group who know your financial situation or how you happen to get a deal on your last cable bill. Like those things are great. And we want that group to continue to be a resource for people who have questions and sort of some of the day-to-day practical kind of stuff. And that's what it's there for. It's there for us to support each other, to encourage each other.
Yeah, so tap into resources online, like our Facebook group that I think is a lot of fun to be a part of. Just remember that the communities that you have online, that you're involved in online, should be complementary to what your community in real life with the people around you looks like.
Yeah, you know what that actually makes me think of too, man, is when you meet somebody who you've met online, like through a group, in real life, how cool is that? Because like you have this sort of knowledge base of each other and sort of what you value and your beliefs and different, whatever it is that you're talking about, right, in the group. But then when you get to meet in person, how cool is it? It's just so much better. It's so much richer. And you get excited because you think, man, we know all these other details about each other. Now we get to like connect for real and hang out and have a beer or go ride bikes or do something real life that we're just sort of talking about when it comes to, you know, doing that online. I think that there's something to be said for when we do actually meet the, you know, different people like that in real life. There's a reason why you get excited, because it's kind of like, oh, cool, finally we get to do this in real life now. This thing that we've been doing digitally, it's like deep down we know that it's sort of imitation. It's digital when you do that online, but being able to do that in person is just awesome.
Especially when you've connected about something that's deep and meaningful to your life. So like, mm-hmm. for instance, in our group, you know that the other people in there like craft beer and like talking about, you know, money issues that matter to you. And so for you and I and for the people in the group, like those are really two huge parts of what make up who you are.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're connecting with other people, that's the case as well. If and when you do get to meet in the flesh, it's really, really cool because you already have two amazing things in common and you're part of the same group essentially that was formed digitally.
So folks, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. Check it out. We'll have some show notes up there for you.
And if you like what you hear, let us know. Review and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, man.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.